Jorma Vuoksenmaa, it's roughly 12 hours after the end of the NFL Championship Series, and the Super Bowl teams, we know them now. They are Philadelphia Eagles, Kansas City Chiefs. The Vegas line opened Kansas City as a slight 1-point
Humble
favorite,
favorite, yeah.
and in a matter of hours, it turned around, and now on the Monday afternoon, Philadelphia Eagles is a 1.5-point favorite.
Yeah, I actually touched minus two, but the difference is not that big because it's just a couple of percentages in the probability field, all those points under field goal range.
Yes. I am a National Football fan, National Football League tai NFL fan.
No, mutta se on myös natialisti tuon puolueen miehen.
I am National Football League fan and you're an NFL analyst. So let's change some exchange some thoughts on the upcoming Super Bowl. What are you looking for in making your betting decisions and so on?
Actually, I slightly jump into your department and ask your opinions of certain things which one can see watching the game, and I try to put those opinions and insights into my numbers. What I'm going to ask from you and where I'm listening very keenly is how you find the offensive line against defensive line in both teams, how they are, and how you see the running game, or if you see any kind of matchups that any of the sides would be dominant in certain part of a game where they could force the game to be decided. So I'm kind of, I'm numerical analyst who would like to have opinion of a sport on my behalf, and that's why this discussion is so useful for us and probably for you, my friend, as well. And if I start how I ended up to my opinion that the match is almost a pick them game, or why Philadelphia might be 1 point favorite or in money line 1 or 2% more probable dinner than Kansas City, if the optimal lineups will return to them soon. My reasons are that my pure power ratings suggest that Kansas City would be better team with the smallest possible difference, one rating point compared to Philadelphia. And of course, even these ratings are not very exact because they have played in different conferences with different schedules. And if I remember right, Philly has had slightly easier schedule compared to Kansas City.
Yeah,
So
very
if you
much.
compare those all those metrics, not only win one lost or money bet on them or yards or first downs or whatever, we should allow Kansas City something of their harder schedule. But then anything is counted in poor power ratings. I find Kansas City, healthy Kansas City, to be slightly better than Philly. Now then we go to kind of intangibles, which are very kind of hard to measure, and for that reason why I'm quite hesitant to use them or put too much emphasis on them. Coaching. Andy Reid is something really special and experienced, and Kansas City, even if you mentioned when we prepared for this, that Kansas City defense is not that experienced.
Mm.
But on the other hand, key players in offense are experienced. And when we all know from other parts of life that then we enter into very stressful levels under really big pressures, it helps if we have faced those pressures and had those feelings earlier on. So in that kind of very tight matchup, in a final game which is around pick them, the ability to take the pressure might be, as I said, it's very hard to measure, but it might be very important. So these reasons talk for Kansas City from that very level power rating situation. Now we go to my favorite thing, running game. That has been the difference between me and the market these almost 40 years. I've been following American football since Chicago Bears 85. And it has not been only the reason between me and the market. It has been the difference between winning and losing. I guess one of the main reasons is why I constantly make money out of American football, especially on Super Bowls, is that I put more emphasis on those factors which actually affect the results but doesn't affect the odds, winnings, the price of risk that much. Running game and running defense is one of those key factors. And I ask soon your opinion, how it looks like, but for my limited eye in American football and my brutal numbers say that Philly has better running game, run offense, and we are only slightly worse in the run defense, and the run defense for Philly is probably not that important in the, you know, creating the fall probability field, because Kansas City offense will be in the air quite a lot. So all in all, I have the game pick. I would be happy to lay at least 195. I'm happy to lay both sides. Mm-hmm. But I think at the moment I have Philadelphia as the slimmest possible favorite. What do you say? Who is your favorite?
Obviously, I played some football as a child, and I played in the offensive line. I love teams that can run the ball.
Yeah.
You mentioned that you've been always betting teams that run the ball and won some money with that. And I think in the past couple of years, even longer, in the NFL, the trend has turned way more towards throwing the ball in the air.
Those versatile quarterbacks, we can throw and run, carry on, yeah.
Yes, so what I was about to ask was that the teams that throw the ball win the games in NFL, but is it still so that the teams that run the ball win the bets?
Yeah, here's a great point. I have seen as well those surveys and statistics, correlations, and causal things, which kind of, you know, which ingredients correlate with winning and cause winning. But as you kind of hinted, if the market reacts strong enough to anything, the value goes out, and we might end up into the paradoxical situation that we should bet weakness if we are rewarded the weakness with very high odds or many handicap points. And my best guess is that, you know, those spectacular long successful throws give psychologically a better or fun, so much kind of whoa feeling that we start to love those teams who are throwing the balls, and we forget all those interceptions or team who is throwing and have less ability on the running. Mm-hmm. You know, we can gain the lead with those spectacular throws and then are unable to kill the clock by running the ball.
Exactly.
And it's so intangible for the casual bettors and fans.
Mm-hmm.
So that is my best guess. Why those kind of, you know, unfancied, kind of, you know, boring looking workman-like running teams quite often give better value, even if they might not win that much games as like teams with Mahomes class quarterbacks.
Yeah, I really liked watching the Eagles games this year, because as I said, they can run, but what Jalen Hurts has done this year is that he can also throw the ball if needed.
Yeah.
But he has had a sore shoulder for a while. It's going to be 2 weeks until the Super Bowl. Anything can happen. Also, Patrick Mahomes had the high ankle sprain, and who knows what happens during the next 2 weeks. He played quite well, but couldn't run as much in the semifinal. You asked me about maybe the offensive defensive lines, if there's anything. I think that if I remember correctly, they are quite healthy on the both sides. I think they are among the best in the league on the both sides. So I think that around now, when they will wake up in the US time zone, and the linemen from the both teams start to feel themselves a bit, and when we'll get the first injury report, that might reveal something. But all in all, I think always in NFL, as the season goes along, a year or two back, they added one more game, which makes it even more stressful to the bodies. I think this year, especially after the 49ers game, I think it's quite obvious for all what's the kind of cost for the bodies of the whole season. There will be lots of injuries, and there will be lots of hurt people playing. I'm feeling baffled. I don't know what to do. The teams that we know are healthy today, and the teams that will be healthy in 2 weeks, there will be major changes, I think. At least there is lots of uncertainty. So how would you, as a sports bettor, touch this situation?
Well, to start with, this is very difficult, and it's hard to make those adjustments on the probability estimates for many reasons. One reason is that we never have exact information of those very important injuries, because obviously, especially in a physical sport like American football, the teams try to keep as secret as possible what is the nature of the problem. Of course, otherwise the other team would make their game plan or even attempts to hurt that place. Secondly, when we get that information, quite often the market reacts and even overreacts to that. And then the overall dynamics, like to a certain extent, you can make kind of compensate things like changing your playbook and the frequencies of certain play calls and on other hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of game theory Nash balance.
Mm-hmm.
Then if your opponent reacts to those game plans and injuries, the overall effect can be huge or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But here I have an idea to bet in running, to make live bets. You know, at sport market, it's very well working and fast, their software. So you actually get the feels in even in the live betting and running very nicely. So I make you a return question. How much do you think one can see during a game of like the movements or body language with a person with shoulder injury or ankle injury?
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible to watch American football and then react to the observed level of healthiness? Is it kind of possible, or is it just kind of theoretical possibility?
I don't know, but if it is, would that be something that the odd compilers would be doing? The bookmakers?
Yes, I mean, I don't want to sound overconfident,
mm-hmm.
but that very same argument, that if it's so, it should be already in prices. Mm-hmm. There are tens or over 100 that kind of surprising, logical, almost obvious theorems which are not in the prices. Slightly, yes, but quite often not enough. Okay, something is overreactive, but here's actually, we are now getting a bit off topic, but it's important that in sports betting, it's very important to understand the probabilities after certain changes in the underlying information, mm-hmm. but not only probabilities, as well the effect to the prices towards the overall risk reward ratio or expected return, which is odds
mm-hmm.
times probability.
Okay, so from the picking the side, maybe we play it cool. We'll try not to get too excited on the pre-Super Bowl party and
mm-hmm.
maybe place the bets during the first quarter. How about the...
One funny point about the Super Bowl party. For the last few years, I've been in a Super Bowl party with a certain betting company.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Mikko Koikalainen, who is a very successful American football
mm-hmm.
coach here in Finland, and very kind of insightful, intelligent,
yes.
analyzed for American footballers. He's a great supporter of Philadelphia Eagles. And he's pretty kind of, you know, strong and tough guy. So if I happen to be on the very same Super Bowl party once again with Mikko, I don't believe I have any kind of options. I'm happy to sacrifice 1 point or 2% of betting value just in order to stay on the same side of public as Mikko. So see you there. Yeah, back
That's
to track.
Great. That's great. How about a few words about the point total?
Yeah.
Do you have any betting idea?
It's good to took that into discussion because you know, when I joked that it might be the case that Mikko Koikalainen factor would be the decisive side for my take in the as my side in Super Bowl. Seriously talking, it's hard to believe one can find that good value
mm-hmm.
from the sides because As mentioned, it's very improbable that the line would move to 3-point field goal.
Yeah.
And if it moves, it must be because of very important injury information, right? So if the sides are probably inside the bookmaker's margin, but you can't find that big value. But okay, I still might have a sympathy bet on Philly for reasons mentioned. But the value bet for this year is the same traditional value bet I have had since 1985, and it's greatly profitable. I think I have bet and cashed with under something like 7 times in last 10 years, and occasionally the human beings forget the bad things, remember good things, but I have a feeling that I have cashed with under 4 or 5 last years, and you guess already, I bet under on the over-under betting again. My reasoning is that, you know, when I think about how much the ball will be run versus thrown, what they have produced, both sides, then all in all, that tight matches with line between -1, +1 points, and half dozen other factors which are essential in the over-under betting, always go to Rome. I mean, all angles and strategies and models say that this should be something like 45 to 46 point over-under line, right? So now the line opened 51. Probably bookmakers anticipated people to go to the overs because people like, of course, betting overs when they watch the game and drink beer and root. So, but now the smart money took the great value of the unders and pushed the line to 49. Now I didn't look on the over-under when we sat before the camera. That's what I saw there at Sport Market, was that the side, as I said, had moved from 2 to 1.5. But I guess the overrun should be somewhere around 49, I mean the betting line. Now here, I think that I'll wait with my new underbets close to a coin toss and kickoff, because I guess that, you know, all that kind of so-called tourist money or money for those people who bet only Super Bowl, it's so hard to see them to betting unders. So that's I mean, some of those great samurais had said that, you know, you should, and great generals had the same idea. You should always understand your opponent, what we are thinking, right? So now in our business, in betting, it's dangerous if you find over under line to be 3 points off the correct or the line bearer, a hardworking, experienced sports bettor thinks it should be with his models. If I found the line 49, I would be more hesitant to bet with my estimate that it should be 45 or 46 if I didn't understand the soldier in the different corner or general behind the front line of opposite side. Now I know why the line started 51, went to 49, and Mike bounced back to 51. I know the reason. People love betting overs on the Super Bowl, and that strategy has really been working. So, and one more thing which talks for the profitability, expected profitability for unders is that if a match is that tight, out of the probability fields goes a big area that one team is leading with two or three touchdowns towards the end of the game.
The garbage time.
Which, you know, the longer the garbage time, the more risky, fast, clock-stopping throwing plays. And even they say it's un-American to run out the score. But Super Bowl is kind of celebration party. And the winning side might just score for fun. And the tired team for season's end might collapse completely. So we have seen Super Bowls with minus 10 points. I remember even a couple of them, minus 30 and so on. There is a risk of those, you know, carnival touchdowns. Here, with very high probability, it will be one possession game towards the last quarter.
Yeah.
So the leading side, there is always the leading side who wants to kill the clock, and then they would avoid turnovers and sacks. That's another reason for under. One reason for under is that they should run the ball a lot, which, before we stop, again raised one question from my mathematical view towards your view. You have seen most of NFL games, at least highlights and of red zone every weekend, and you had some experience from junior series. So my question is, Philadelphia has had quite lost turnovers ratio so far. Have they just been lucky in less than 20 games, or is there a reason which we should calculate for Eagles as a plus, that that the fact that they have not given out stupid turnovers would actually be a meaningful piece of information that the risk of giving toss in future would be smaller? What do you think? Luck or something in the play?
I think it must be mostly luck. I personally think that fumbles are more or less always luck. If you play on that level, there shouldn't be any skill difference. There's always players that are set to fumble a lot. I think that's just like very, very bad luck.
Yeah, and afterwards kind of, you think.
Yes, exactly. It could have something to do with how much they run. Obviously, that's less risky.
Yeah.
It could have something to do with how the quarterback, Jalen Hurts, has lots of mobility. So basically,
that's good
in,
point.
In difficult situations, he might try to swim out from the trouble
instead of
just throwing it away to a risky place. I haven't seen anything that I could mention as to be for or against.
But that's what I almost guess.
That could be worth studying during these 2 weeks before.
It will be great 2 weeks.
Yeah, it will be great 2 weeks. And after the 2 weeks, we will be the party people who are rooting against both teams and celebrating when the punt kicker comes to the field. Follow us, keep on listening to the podcast, watching the videos on European Sports Betting Consultants website, esbc.fi for Finland. There will be lots of blog posts, material, even tips for the games, both National Football League and soccer and ice hockey, other leagues and other countries.
And actually even horse racing, if somebody happens to be interested in Scandinavian or French horse racing. So we are pretty kind of organization with good quality and with wide interests. So it's definitely worth following us. Yeah. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your time. Thanks.